Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Peace, power, and love, family. Welcome once again to the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is the big picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Give a shout out to my boy, to my homie, Throwboy Mike, for that opening theme song. And what's ironic about it is I had already started putting together my show, and he just happened to have this song stashed away, and he sent it to me. And it just, Throwboy Mike, he's a talented producer, rapper, his whole family actually, but just want to give him that occasional shout out for that opening theme song. Okay, I want to welcome everybody who may be listening online, and my family in Nigeria, Germany, Canada, and here in the States. As usual, welcome, and also to my Activate Radio family from ActivateMedia.org out of Boston, Mass., where this show replays on Friday nights at 9 p.m. And also to my Activate Radio family, feel free to call in on any Monday, and I welcome your input, your opinions, thoughts, suggestions, all of that. We need each other out here. I'm going to throw that in. So this is really a show where sometimes I rant, sometimes I'm going to bring it a little raw and uncut, but it's going to always be real. And that's one thing about me and what I try to bring to this platform is reality, truth, and change. Tonight, I'm going to set the table. I'm going to do my little commentary. Oh, and for those of you who are listening online, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that call-in number is 914-205-5538. All right. Now, tonight is going to be one of those shows where you're going to need to take your 13-year-olds and your 12-year-olds and younger, unless you don't mind them being exposed to some truth in raw form. Tonight, I want to talk about, I'm finna set my commentary, and I see I got a couple of callers online already, so I'm going to set my commentary up for tonight. I want to talk about these McMichaels and this Roddy Bryant and the Ahmaud Arbery murder. And I also want to touch on the murderer, Kyle Rittenhouse, who also has a trial going on right now. And I'm also going to dab into something that happened here in Texas just a few days ago. But tonight's show is dedicated to this funky-ass injustice system. Once again, I'm going to expose the double damn standards. And why is it that certain people can be as violent as they want to be and never face damn consequences? And that is what I'm finna set the table with. And as usual, I'll take my break and then I will open up the mics for those who want to comment. When that time comes, just press the 1 and I will open up the microphones. But let me get off into this. I spent today, as usual, I like to try to know. I mean, I know about these cases. We all know about these cases that are happening right now, the Ahmaud Arbery murder and the terrorists. Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm trying to think of this lady's name, and it'll come to me, but she's a real estate agent here in Texas. And what this privileged devil in the blue dress was able to do was, she was one of the ones, I'm going to get her out of the way because that's a quick one. And this is just a quick example of this injustice system, white privilege, and why I don't have any compassion for, well, I won't say compassion, I'll say why I don't have any empathy for people who a country was built for and they're unsuccessful in it. And, you know, what we are seeing is some sort of fairness, but what happened with this real estate agent, and I'm trying to think of her name, she was one of the ones that stormed the White House. And she lives here in Texas. And I'm really trying to think of her name. But she lives here in Texas. And I know I read about a couple of weeks ago that there were some of us, unfortunately, that were at that White House, which was not the place for any of us to be. That shit did not involve us. That was not about us. And I'm saying that because those elections are never about us. there's always an agenda with these selections. I said I'm going to stop even calling them elections because they are selections. And for storming the White House, well, mind you, the article that I read a few weeks ago, there was a, it was about a black man, one of the black men that were there, but he got locked up a few days after, and he's still in jail. They have not given him a bond, and he'll sit there until this funky-ass injustice system decides to let him free or either keep, because that's what that is, it's a form of torture. Mental torture. But this particular lady, Caucasian, real estate agent, was given 6 months, and I believe it was a $5,000 fine for kicking in windows and doors at, you know, America's most sacred damn house. Now, we're also seeing with that whole January 6th situation, such a leniency. It's like they've given those idiots that were terrorists, because that was an insurrection, an attempt to overthrow the government and make an election turn out the way they wanted it to turn out, but it failed, just like most fool plans do. And that was a fool act, just straight up and down, and a terrorist act nonetheless. Now, that is just a prime example of how this injustice system works, how it works for some and doesn't work for others. And not only that, like I said, it is pretty much giving these so-called patriots qualified immunity as well, which leads me to the terrorist Kyle Rittenhouse. And we all know the situation, you know, and what happened with that situation. You know, Jacob Blake was a brother that was actually, from what I read when the story was fresh, he was actually breaking up a domestic dispute, much like my cousin in Wolf City did. And I spoke about that case a couple of weeks ago, brought an update on that case. But much like he was doing, and ended up losing his life to these out-of-control pigs. Well, this out-of-control brother, Jacob Blake, 7 times in the back, paralyzed the young man. I think he was, well, he was a young man. I can't remember how old, but that's beside the point. And nonetheless, I am bothered by that because I know we've all saw the video, and true enough, you know, Jacob Blake had a knife in his hand, but Jacob Blake was not walking towards anyone in a threatening manner at all. And not only that, in the video you can clearly see that he appears to be tossing the knife back into his vehicle, not trying to get in the vehicle or run, mind you. And I don't give a damn if he had a knife in his hand or not. I'm just going to tell you from my point of view. If I have Big Mildred or Mary Jo with me, I wish that somebody would be fool enough to run up on me with a knife. Now, if I have a gun, I'm weaponized, I am not in fear of my life if someone is running towards me with a knife. Now, this is just me, and I'm not like these coward cops, because if he drops the knife, we can go man to man. But even with a knife, I don't feel threatened enough unless he's within striking distance. I don't feel threatened enough to unholster my weapon and shoot a man seven times. Now, if he does get within striking distance with his knife, I will unholster my weapon, but I will not shoot to kill him. It doesn't take seven shots to disarm a man with a knife. A leg shot will do. A leg shot will allow you to back on up. Excuse me. Will allow you to back up and remain at a safe distance away from him. And if he is shot in the leg, believe you me, he ain't thinking about that little knife he's holding anymore. He is thinking about his leg with that hole in it that's leaking. So these coward cops always take things to the extreme. They're always excessive in force, and especially when dealing with us. Now, Jacob Blake was the backdrop for the terrorist Kyle Rittenhouse, and I watched a lot of I watched some of the court proceedings, which is to me just a waste of time and money, because some cases are, in my opinion, open and shut. Much like the George Floyd case was, to me, open and shut. Court was something to do, something to see, something to make us think that justice is going to be done. And, okay, he got some time, but yet and still, time that he got doesn't equal the life that he took. So, Kyle Rittenhouse, and I'm watching a lot of, today what I was able to pull up was a lot of the body cam footage that was going on there on the scene, and then there was a lot more of the cell phone footage as well that I was able to look up. And the thing about the situation that happened in Kenosha, it was, to me, one of those opportunities where good old boys that want to shoot up a bunch of what they were hoping to be was us, but there was a nice mixture of people there from all ethnicities. And I know that's not what they were thinking, but focusing back on this young punk racist, Kyle Rittenhouse, who was at the time 17 years old, and I want to throw this in too. There was a few months back, I'd done a show, and there was a white nationalist that came in onto the broadcast. Well, that following Thursday, he came back on another one of my brother's podcasts, and he showed his true colors that Thursday night. There was a Caucasian female, Savannah, who was on the line, and she told him point blank, "I'm more for black power because black power is about peace and unity, and white power is about hate and control." And that really pissed him off. And that's when he started showing his true character and his, you know, that true nature of the beast, the real beast, because that's not us. We're just labeled as such. So, yeah, that same type of hatred is what was on those streets of Kenosha that night. What was there was a lot of good old boys who were thinking that it was going to be a bunch of black people only out there, that they were going to have an opportunity to engage. And this Rittenhouse, his mother, and this is why I brought up the fact and the point of what Savannah said to this white nationalist on my brother's show that Thursday night. Because, yeah, black power has never been about white hate. Black power has always been about black empowerment. And white society, please let us empower ourselves. And that is what our true our true mission is. But for some reason, you always have that element, like the Cal Rittenhouse element, that which was a bunch of just white nationalists and militiamen who were, mind you, as I was doing my research on this, using platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and all of this, planning to go there. And there were members from within the Kenosha community who were requesting that they come and help protect their buildings. Now, if you can rewind back, those were peaceful protests until these high-dollar-ass militarized punk police do what they do best and will escalate a situation. And so that is what what we witnessed. A bunch of good old boys, white nationalists, you know, that element of white racist society that's so damned ignorant and all it wants to do is kill everything that it doesn't like because it doesn't like its damn self. I've told you many times, the devil don't love nobody, not even his damn self. So that's what Cal Rittenhouse and all those other cohorts were up there doing. And if you can remember that video, after he shot that guy, he took off running towards the police with an AR-15 or whatever it was, AR, but a high-powered long gun, and he's running toward the police. At first he was holding the gun. Then the police said something, but they were not talking to him. He put his hands up anyway and was able to walk right by, I want to say it was like two or three of those police tanks, and they never stopped him and questioned him for running behind him, telling the police, "Hey, he just shot these people." And they're not, we lost all the video. Okay, and now we have the this mockery of a trial going on, and this media can kiss the crack of my ass too. Excuse me, but yeah, because this media really dictates the narrative on so many levels and about so many situations that involve life and death. And my whole thing is, those men were up there, like I say, with the intentions of killing coons. That's what they call us, Bubbas, you know, Negroes, us. And everyone that was shot and killed that night and the other guy that was wounded were all people that looked like him. So that's why I say it's such an ignorant hatred that they have, and they don't mind harming one another in the midst of trying to harm the enemy. So you know, now this trial's going on, and they've made so many stipulations. You can't call the people who just so many verbiages, and they always try to work that law in the favor of the so-called patriot, even though he's villainous as hell, guilty as hell. But right now they are digging for a way to give him as least time as they can. And I'm going to put the double standard out there right now, because I remember Khalif Browder, the young brother that, not just him. Let's talk about, let's even go back further than that, and you can also remember the Central Park Five. That was all a concocted bullshit story. Just a lie in order to get a party. Much like with Khalif Browder. And that young man's story is so bothersome to me, because he had done nothing. And, even if he had been guilty of stealing that damn backpack, it didn't warrant what he went through. And now I'm sitting here watching this same funky ass injustice system try to give Kyle Rittenhouse freedom, try to give him the most minimal charge that they can give him so that he can do as less time as possible. And mind you, he shot and killed two men and wounded a third man. And from the wound, the video I was looking at today, they showed the guy that he shot in the arm, and it was around his elbow area, but damn near blew his arm off from the elbow down. And they are looking to try to, because one of the guys, the first guy that he shot in the chest and killed was the kid with the a skateboard. And that's much like the scenario that I was talking about with Jacob Blake having a knife, but I just, and that's just me, I'm not too scared of a man with a knife if I got a gun. And if I got a gun and I see somebody running towards me with a skateboard is not, I mean, I'm just going to be real. I ain't never heard of nobody getting beat to death with a skateboard. And if it has happened, which I'm sure it probably has, it happens within the skating community. It's not something that you hear about every day on the news like we hear about these terrorists and these terrorist acts. And like I say, we got this justice system, this injustice system doing what it does best and trying to preserve the life of one of their boys. Now, if that had been a 17-year-old black boy, he'd be a man, and then he'd be a thug, and then they dig all in his past and try to make him as criminal as possible. But just think back and remember, you know, this jackass, Rittenhouse, doesn't live in Kenosha, drove quite a ways to get there, and his mom drove him. And that was the point I'm making. These devils teach hate. And that's why I brought up the fact and the point of what the sister had told the white nationalists that night. You know, white power is about building and protecting, and white power is about hatred and violence and control, which is a true statement, because never within the history of our organizations, as many as there have been, the Muslim organization, the Panther parties, all the other, we've never went out and actively hunted and targeted white people, white racist organizations, this system, you know. So I don't understand their fear and their logic of our threat, because we've never really been the threat that we should be. We've never been that threat, but we're always viewed as that threat. While we get this jackass Rittenhouse with that complexion for the protection, and this system goes to work to try to preserve him some sort of life while they will throw us away. And that's that double standard shit that I be talking about. And like I say, you got Khalif Browder, a young man that they accused of stealing a stinking backpack. You had a Central Park Five. They made up such an elaborate lie, the world believed it at first. And these young men, these young kids were innocent as hell. And then you got Khalif Browder, who gets out after being in there for, what, about 3 years and spending damn near two of those years in solitary confinement. And I've never been to the penitentiary. I've been to jail, and I've been in solitary confinement for a few days. And those few days, without a book, without it works on you mentally. So to have to be locked up with that, and not only that, he was a child. He was a freaking kid. He didn't understand any of that. And just like those Central Park Five, those were kids. And that's why I say, it's time for us to get to work so we can give our kids that same type of protection, because if they know we're going to bring the pressure, well, our kids will have that same opportunity if they know that the black man is going to bring the pressure. But I don't want to get off point. And like I say, it doesn't matter if it's the police or if it's a civilian, like this Rittenhouse, as long as they got that right complexion and they doing the work of the agenda. They are doing as they should. And then we get to the Ahmaud Arbery murder, and that bullshit trial is going on down in Georgia right now. And that, this case is another one of those sit and shut cases. And today when I was preparing for this show, I pulled up, I was able to find some body camera footage from that incident as well, when they interviewed the killers, and then that Roddy, whatever his, the Barney Rubble looking one, but anyway, yeah, the Roddy, whatever his name, but the one that followed and filmed it, and then he had the film, and then with this case, now we know that even the filthy-ass devil in the blue dress DA was down there working to try to help cover it up and lighten the murder that had taken place. And watching the body cam footage, some of those police who were on the scene knew the Papa McMichaels, because he was in law enforcement for like 22 or 23 years, if I remember correctly, with that, I read that. But, yeah, he's, you know, doing that white privilege thing after murdering a boy, and he's lying his ass off, just flat out lying his ass off. And you can go to YouTube and Google the, that's where I pulled up that body cam footage from that day after, right after he was murdered. Actually, it was so fresh that his body was still lying there covered with a white sheet. They pixeled his body out, but you could, you know, you knew what it was and who it was. But that, to me, is just another open and shut case. And to watch that video footage, it's kind of like watching George Floyd have the life strangled out of him. It is really angering and really disheartening. It's angering, first and foremost. I mean, it's 90% angering and then 10% the rest of them emotions. Because this young man, I mean, because on the body cam footage, the one cop that's questioning the elder McMichaels, that devil, and he's standing there lying his ass off, and you can just tell he's lying his ass off. That's the same boy we saw, and he came and he done stole some stuff. And mind you, I'm like, okay, look, the house is under construction. What in the hell can he steal out of there and, you know, run back down the street with it? If he had stolen anything, and then the way he was dressed, where can he conceal anything if he's stolen anything? And then not only that, an interview was done with the owner, the person who was having that house built, went over to the property, and he was interviewed. I saw this particular interview on YouTube as well, but he was interviewed, and he said that there was nothing missing from the property. But my thing is, what is it of value that you can steal from a property that's being constructed? I mean, unless you got a pickup truck, you can't get nothing worth value, because the only thing that's going to be worth value at a construction site is going to be machinery. And not many carpenters and stuff leave that unsecure once they leave for the night or whatever. You know, and then they're most of them going to take their tools with them. But, I mean, what can he get out of there? What, some fucking 2x4, some nails, you know? And if I mean, what's, I don't know, that case really is, like I say, angering and aggravating, because that's what I consider to be a straight-up lynching. And to watch that young man try to run the other way, and then that's when that Roddy guy pops up and he turns back around, and to watch him run around the passenger side of that truck hoping he can get away, but then there goes the younger racist McMichaels with the shotgun, and he, you know, engages him, and then we all know what happens after that, you know. And to watch this young man fighting for his life and to take those last few steps and drop, we all knew he was gone. And now, what is it that I didn't see, or that the world didn't see, that warrants their actions, that even warrants a trial? Because the property didn't belong to them that he went and looked in, and like I say, there was no harm done with to the property. Nothing taken, nothing damaged, and he's running in loose shorts and a T-shirt. So there's no way he can conceal a weapon or anything. So why even bother? But see, that is that privilege. You know, that's that do what I say boy mentality. Because if they could have it the way they wanted, it would be Trump's world and make America great again. And we'd be stepping, well, I wouldn't. Because if it ever go down, if they don't get me, they going to be in trouble. But they want us stepping back off the sidewalk on a rainy day so their shoes don't get muddy, but our feet get wet. So, I can't bow down to that. I'm not stepping off of no sidewalks, and they're trying to take us back there. They want us back in yesa massa mode, nosa massa. Oh yeah, Miss Clarine, she sure is pretty. Yeah, you know, they want us back there, and they're actively working, and not only actively but effectively doing it. And you know, these types of incidents are the incidents that I always say, this is why we need each other. This is why we need to come together and in a galvanized fashion and stay together. Like stink on shit, we need to stay together that tight. And then these Ahmaud Arbery's, the Botham Johns, the O'Shea Terry's, the Tatiana Jeffersons, the Breonna Taylors, the George Floyds, and the so many countless others. Because I could keep going. And I know people listening online are thinking and calling out names that they know. You know, Jonathan Pryce, Larry Woods, my family, killed by these coward-ass cops, and then they duck them off and hide them and keep them tucked away. And I often wonder, do they really go to jail, or do they just stash them somewhere and keep their ass there in a safe house where nobody can see them? Nobody will know they're there, not even their family. And you know, this government operates like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if these cops are sent off to some club med type places, club fed type places, where they just really are out of sight, out of mind for a little while. And then keep in mind as well that with the situation that took place in Minnesota, and you know that's just Minnesota, but that is going to set a legal precedent, and you know it's going to probably start catching on in other states as well, and that kind of shit is worse than qualified immunity, in my opinion, because then they will be able to appeal, get lighter sentences, get out, have lighter sentences imposed. That's just that legal precedent is going to be another slap in the face to our people and our communities, because it allows them to continue to terrorize us any kind of way they want to. Had Kyle Rittenhouse been a young black man, he'd be dead. He'd be dead. Three black men had ran down one white guy for coming out of a house that didn't belong to either one of them. Them black men would have already had a trial and would already be in the pen if they hadn't got gunned down by these trigger-happy, ready-to-kill-a-black-man KKK cops, because that's what they consist of. So, okay, that is what's being served. And I didn't mean to go this long, but I just wanted to get some thoughts and opinions and that particular information out and put it on the table. I'm going to take a quick break now, and I see I got a few callers online, and thank you all for calling in. And I'm going to get back off into this conversation because, honestly, it is about, to me, the double standards of this whole society and how, like I had asked the question in the beginning, how is it that some people are allowed to commit violent acts on innocent, peaceful protesters? And another thing about that whole situation, had they not showed up with those guns, well, nobody would have got killed that night. If Kyle Rittenhouse had kept his little young, snotty-nosed punk ass at home where he belonged and not had that old racist-ass devil in a blue dress mama that was ready to take him out there and, yeah, go get a few. That's what we live for, make America great again. That kind of mama, yeah, his ass wouldn't be in the predicament that he's in now, but deservedly so, because, you know, we've all heard about, you know, how he acts and some of the things that he has posted on social media sites and then the pictures of him out drinking in a bar with who else but his mother, you know, and she seems to be the source of the problem, the enabler of a terrorist. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with, you know, and there's one thing that I do know about within the black community. We don't teach our kids hate. Teach them self-defense and defend yourself, yeah. But we don't teach our kids to hate somebody just because they're white or Hispanic or Asian or whatever. Our whole thing is if they disrespect you, handle your business. And that's how we move. And the world sees that. Even here in this country, they see that. But they still give us the label that they rightfully deserve. All right. So that's what's on the table tonight, and once again, I want to thank everybody for calling in. And if you, I'm going to take a quick break. If you have questions, comments, whatever it is, you know, about tonight's subject, just hit that one. And after the break, I'll be opening up the microphone so that people can join in and we can dig off into this, because this is really becoming more and more of a problem. And the whole, you know, big picture of it to me is nothing's being done about it, you know. And until we, and I'm talking about the black man, and I when I say we, I'm specifically, and especially in that tone, yeah, I'm talking about the black man, needs to get involved and holding the community down and protecting the community. And, you know, that's our job. I was having a conversation this past weekend with the Queen, and I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoy conversations where people are on that level of change, and not just changing self, but changing the total condition. And it's refreshing to know that there are more of us that are interested in the change than not. And, you know, that's my whole thing as well. We are the ones that are that have the ability and are responsible for making this change happen. And sooner, more sooner than later. And it's not really done for us. It's not about what we're going to get, because I'm just going to be real, and this is just me. I don't want nothing. All I want from it is my grandkids not to have to suffer, my great-grandkids not to have to suffer and beg and ask this system for nothing. So I'm going to take a break real quick, and then we will get back off into this. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Be back right after this break.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Roped is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave. And the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within, start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us, but they were the ones ooga. Einstein language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman.
Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
Oh, all right. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Once again, if you are listening online and would like to call in on tonight's show, the number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen, or you can press the 1 to get put into the queue, and I will open up your microphone. Tonight, I am really just discussing the the murder trial of Ahmaud Arbery and the terrorist act committed by Kyle Rittenhouse. And I also, and I meant to look that lady's name up, but I didn't. Also, when I first came on, I briefly talked about just that privilege and about the real estate agent that lives here in Texas who was at the White House kicking in windows and breaking glass and kicking in doors. And she was only given 6 months and a $5,000 fine. Yeah. And that is here in the good old boy state of Texas. And yeah, I said good old boy because that's really what it is. And Greg Abbott is catering to him. Just another, you know, point to their control and to their need to disempower others while hoping to empower themselves. And that's taken place in a few states, a few of these good old boy Trumper supporter states where they're trying to change so many rules, so many rules and regulations when it comes to voting. And like I said earlier, that presidential selection is not as crucial as the local, because we got to start at that local level in order to get people up the ladder where we need them. Also, I mean, and honestly, it's just really to a point now, and we're going to see in these cases, because I can guarantee you that three devils in Georgia are going to get you know, they won't get life. And in my opinion, all three of them deserve life, and the younger McMichaels deserves what he gave. And I'm just a firm believer, if we really go back to the way it's supposed to be and make it an eye for an eye, that will change a lot of racist mentality. That'll change a lot of minds. A lot of people that's out here doing foul stuff would stop if they knew you steal something, you get your hand cut off. You rape somebody, you lose your genitalia. You lose it. You know, you, whatever you do, you reap what you sow. And unfortunately, that is not the case. And that's why I say in these cases, every time, you know, because like with the George Floyd case, you know, it was a whole year that went by, and then we have to relive it, you know, in a courtroom setting, in a trial setting. So that really brings out all those emotions again, you know. And it really makes you ask those questions again as to, like, why? You know, really, why did they have to die? Why did Ahmaud Arbery have to die? Because he was where the McMichaels felt like he shouldn't have been. And when is it that, and that's why I say, too, it's important for us to gentrify our own communities. I'm with the, I call it the new segregation, because that's honestly all it is. And as I'm traveling this country, I'm seeing more and more new suburban areas popping up on the outskirts of these cities. And they're not being occupied by people that look like you and I. They're being occupied by people who are trying to get away from people that look like you and I. And see, we have never really been a problem, and we're never a problem until provoked. And then anybody that is provoked enough will react, you know. And we do react, but we don't have any plan of action, not a collective plan of action. Because like I was saying before the break, you know, if we stay together and apply the correct pressure, and that's really what it's about, applying the correct pressure, and not only that, making sure that consistent pressure, you know, not the kind of pressure that will come and go, but that kind of pressure that is there and it remains. And when they think we done forgot about it, well, no, what happened with, you know, and that's why I do go back and revisit some of these cases when they cross my mind, because so many of them happen that we tend to forget, you know. And then by the time that one, well, here's another one, or two or three, and then we're on those. And then it's like, oh, you know what? What about, yeah. I mean, and that's why I did the update a couple of weeks prior to that about the Tatiana Jefferson case and the O'Shea Terry case. And both of those are in Tarrant County, which is the neighboring county to Dallas County. And like I say, I like to know, and when I know, I like to let the people know. And then I think it's essential that we know what's working for us and what's not. And this injustice system is not working for us. And I keep telling people that we're going to have to build something that works for us, not something that's beneficial, but something that's going to work to our benefit. It's going to work for us consistently. You know, I was talking to some brothers the other day, and I was telling them, you know, the thing is, you know, this system will give us something that will benefit us, I said, but everybody else is going to get a piece of it as well. I said, this system has never given us something that works specifically for us. And see, that's what we need. We need something that's working for us. You know, not something that's here a little bit, then it fades, and then, oh, well, here's a little, no. Not something that's going to benefit us for the moment. Something that's going to work for us for the long term. And that's us. That requires us, all of us. You know, anybody who is a proponent to change, anybody who is tired of the lies, the thievery, I mean, just tired of this whole system, period. And that's a lot of people. And that number's growing every day because Biden is not the answer. And I'm just going to be real. There is no solution for what ails this country. The only solution for what ails this country is to redo it. And that means getting rid of the old and starting anew. But not enough of us are ready to take that plunge. And I'm just really wondering, how much does it take? How much more violence do we have to suffer? How much more do we have to, I mean, injustices do we have to see in these one-sided courtrooms? You know, how much more is it going to take before we say enough is enough and truly mean that enough is enough? And I mean, when I say that entails, you know, doing what's necessary for change. And there are many avenues and contributions that can be made to affect change. But the main ingredient is working together, being a unified force, and not asking for, but demanding the same thing across the board. Because I was telling my brother the other day, I don't care where I'm at, what part of the country that I'm in, the Hispanic race is building everywhere. Everywhere I've been in this country, every state, they got within every city, they got their own communities, grocery stores, they own clinics, all of that. They got what they need and what is working for them. And see, are we just not interested in having something that truly works for us? Because what that is us. What works for us is us, but we got to go to work for us. We got to start working for us and stop letting people shame you into feeling like it's something wrong with it. Because a lot of us are about to be suffering out here. There are many things that are about to come down the pike. Homelessness is about to grow because people are struggling to pay mortgages right now. I'm in transportation. These shelves have been understocked for months. These shelves have never recovered from the shutdown last year, truth be told. There are not enough trucks out here to move all the product that needs to be moved right now. And those are business opportunities. You know, something else coming down the pike with this, these mandates, you know, trying to force people to take this, we don't even know what it is, vaccine. You know, and that's why I say it's important for like-minded individuals to get together, work together, and we need to start it at a grassroots level and keep the circle tight because we cannot afford to build to lose. And so many times in the past, we've taken nothing, made it something, like we always do, and only to have it taken or burned down because our people really just want to be left alone and enjoy life, and we don't expect any drama if we're not causing any drama. But and so on so many occasions when we did pull ourselves up by the bootstrap, well, that greedy, thirsty devil came in and, like I say, would torch it, loot it, then torch it. And then now, you know, you got so many people, oh, that rioting and looting and they're thugs. Well, okay, what were the racist white people who burned down towns and looted and pillaged and killed men, women, children, elderly just to gain control of a land? Of a certain part of the city. Yeah, I know black people have never done that. We were just happy. I can just see them. And being a black man, I know the joy that they felt, you know, just having accomplished something that was told they would never see, they couldn't do. They would never see it. But to actually make that happen, only to have it taken right back away. You know, and that's like I say, the sooner that we come together and stay together, the better off we'll be. And for the black man to honestly, truly, really take his rightful position, because we should have a certain confidence, not an arrogance, but we all as black men should have a certain confidence, because you should know that we are the ultimate. We are, and I'm going to say it, the more superior fighter, athlete, I don't care what it is. When we set our minds to whatever it is, we master it. We take it to another level. We do something different with it. And we make it harder for somebody else to attain that level. And that's just who we are. Creativity is in our DNA. Intellect is in our DNA. Leadership is in our DNA. So, black man, where are we at? Why do we keep allowing our young brothers and sisters to be gunned down in these streets, and not only by the cops, by one another? You know, when are we going to truly stand up and regain control of our neighborhoods, you know, create those safe havens that our families deserve too. You know, our families work hard, and our families, I was watching a documentary a few months ago, and I heard the sister say that I've got a good job, but she had three kids. She was a single mother. And she said, do you think I want to live in this part of town, in this area? Well, that's not really a slap in the face to the brothers and sisters. That's really a slap in the face to this system and what this system allows to happen within our communities. They allow our communities to deteriorate because they know that we're not going to put money back into our communities. And then what does that do? What does that do? That allows the system, the county or the state or the city or whatever, to come in and claim that land. You know? And that's why, too, we land. If you got it, hold on to it. If you can get it, get some and hold on to it. You know, we've truly got to get in a selfish but selfless state of mind, if you understand what I'm saying, where we're selfish with our purpose and goal-driven with our purpose, but selfless in our acts towards one another. You know, and everybody is not going to be on that level. Everybody's not going, you're going to still have that element that wants to be in control. You're going to still have that element that wants confusion, because some people can only thrive in confusion. Some people can only thrive in a drama-filled situation, you know. So we've got to rid ourselves of that particular element internally as well as externally, you know. And like I say, don't let where you are dictate who you are. Just like that night when the white nationalist came on the show and he said that his biggest fear was to become the minority. And like I enlightened him and I told him, well, I hate to burst your bubble, but y'all are already the minority, you know. And then I explained to him, being the minority will build a certain amount of respect, characteristics, morals, and values within yourself and your children. It really gives you a different appreciation for life to not be part of the majority rule, the in crowd, per se. You know, and that's why in these particular cases, like with Ahmaud Arbery, when a black life is taken at the hands of cop or citizen, like I say, that is not frowned upon by this system, because this system, truth be told, not only we know that it doesn't value us, because we are the very, very last leaf or straw on the totem pole. We are hanging by a thread. Everybody else is more respected by this system than us. You know, the lighter the complexion, the better your protection. This is America. Don't forget, and we need to understand that particular scenario more as well, because this country was never built for us to succeed. And that's why we've got to make our own success. And we're capable, more than capable. We have the materials in abundance, but yet and still we will not bring our mind, bodies, and spirits together and allow them to work in a fashion that is conducive to prosperity. And me and one of the brothers was talking the other day, it's about building a strong, steady, stable foundation. It's all, everything you do, it starts with a foundation. Whatever it is, any plan that you execute, it starts with a rock bottom foundation. Because without a solid foundation, it won't go anywhere. You have to make sure when you build in a house that you have enough bedrock and enough settled dirt and packed dirt before you lay that cement, or you'll forever be leveling your home. You know, you have to take the time to cultivate the proper foundation, a solid and strong enough foundation that you can put any kind of weight on it. And the more weight, the better. You know, something, and I always, sometimes I use this scenario when I'm talking to the brothers and sisters, and I'll tell them that we need to think in terms of building a foundation strong enough for four of your generations to stand on. And if we all took the time to tap into our skills, our intellectual spirits, and our unified spirits, and build together, the foundation will forever be strong. Because what will happen is this weaker, wiser generation will see us laying a foundation, and they want to see it being done. And we've got to show them how to do it. And we've got to show them how to use their intellect as well as their physical prowess. Because me, myself, I'm more of an intellectual warrior, too. I like to be able to argue intelligently. I like to have the correct information. I thirst for knowledge. Honestly, that's just me. And we've all got to get thirsty for us. We got to get thirsty for something. Like, I mean, how do we expect, or what is it that we expect to happen if we remain stagnant, if we continue to keep going along to get along? And I often ask this question now because a few weeks ago it popped in my head. We were having a conversation, and I was like, "What?" And I ask this question now often. What if the ancestors were as nonchalant about being mistreated, and, you know, what if they were as nonchalant about the suffering condition as we are? Because, mind you, they were suffering to the back just for speaking their native language. They would get the whip to the back for praying to their God. They would get the whip in the back for pretty much anything, if they didn't pick enough cotton, if they was looking at master too hard, if they drank where they weren't supposed to drink, or the lashing is coming. So what we have not endured anything but a little mistreatment. We never have endured the physical aspect of what our ancestors had to suffer. And that's the only difference. The mental aspect now is sharp as a brand-new razor blade. Very sharp, because they are attacking us mentally now as opposed to physically. But they are still attacking us physically. It is not as severe. Well, I won't say severe, but it's not as prevalent as it was in America's past history. So that. Pretty much what I wanted to cover. Like I say, just the double standards that we have to deal with, you know, within this injustice system. And I'm working on next week, what I'm trying to put together for next Monday's show is going to be something special, I hope. Because it's something that I tried to do, and I've tried to do it a few times, but, you know, everybody, I do understand everybody has a life, and we got to tend to life, and we all have different schedules. But hopefully everything will go right for next Monday, and I'm hoping, too, to have Brother Q and some of those brothers on as well on next Monday, just to have a straight up roundtable talk think tank style, where we can just have a couple of hours to pick each other's heads, and then we all, you know, the brothers that I have spoken with, we're all from different walks of life. We're all from different parts of the country as well. And so these are the kinds of things that, like I say, I've reached out to brothers as far as North Carolina, up in Chicago, Kansas. Of course, here in Texas, but like I say, just I want brothers to start understanding the importance of each other and how much we need each other, and we need to be leaning on each other and making sure that we're doing the right things as black men out here, because we need to be examples of what to do. Not of what not to do. We already see enough of what not to do. You know, it's time for us to start giving our youth the proper tools and the proper intellect and the proper morals, values, respect, integrity, you know, self-worth, all of that. You know, so that's really what I'm looking forward to on next Monday. Like I say, I'm hoping to have at least between 15 to 20 brothers on this call, and anybody's welcome to call in. I'm not trying to exclude the sisters, but I want the brothers on this one, because I want us to, like I say, start realizing our need and then start recognizing our power when we do come together in the correct fashion. Because when we do come together for the right things, we're powerful. And when we're coming together for the right things will happen. So I just think it's important for, you know, us to start being more supportive. We go through enough out here as black men and black women. To not want to exert peace and love towards one another. You know, we'll take what society has done to us throughout the day and then go home and take it out on the ones that love us and care about us the most. And these are the times when we have got to really, truly be there for one another, because honestly, it's some crazy times out here right now, and I think that it is mentally affecting everybody in some way or form. There's so many new normals, and I've said this in the past. Right now, we're about to have to be doing some things that are abnormal to our normal lifestyles. So in the midst of, you know, all of these systematic new normals, let's start creating some of our own new normals, you know, and new normals that work for us, not just benefit us for a time, but work for us until we just don't need it to work for us no more and we on the next one. But we need to make sure that we are, doing viable things, doing things that will solidify a better future. So, like I say, we have the ability to stop all the madness, all the injustice, all the police brutality. We can't fix racism. We need them to fix racism. We need them to start within their homes and within their communities and tell them to leave people alone. Just leave people alone that don't look like them if they don't like them. You don't always have to approach somebody and say some ignorant stuff just to draw attention to your ignorant ass. Keep your ignorant lips together and you won't have to worry about anything. My brothers, next Monday's show, I'm hoping to have this for us so that we can, like I say, connect. It's time for us to start networking, like I say, building. Start doing things, like I say, that's going to be foundational and leaving our kids something that they can work with and giving them opportunities to be able to start life without having to fight and go to the army just to get a start at life. We need to start providing opportunities. Stop thinking about ourselves. We are such a selfish behaving people. You know, and we cannot afford to keep being that. That's the thick of what I wanted to talk about on tonight's show. Once again, I want to thank everybody that listened online. I want to thank everybody that called in and listened. Thank my activatemedia.org, family in Boston, Massachusetts as well, which are this broadcast on Friday. My brothers and sisters in Nigeria, Canada, Germany, United States, of course. And I guess in closing, I'm just going to say, it's sad that, you know, we live in a country where violence is so prevalent. I've said so many times that, you know, a country built on violence, you know, and if you look at this country, this system, and it promotes violence. It allows the powers that be and the entities to be in place so that the violence will never stop, you know, and the thing about a country that is built on violence, it is going to die by the same means. You cannot mistreat and get over and think that what you build from that or what you may gain from that at that particular point in time is going to last if you're doing it by the wrong means and for the wrong reason. And that's why this country will suffer, because this country was built on the most heinous acts known to man. So it's time for us brothers, like I say, to just get our shit together so that we can get our shit together. And I'm going to leave y'all with that. So, like I say, next Monday, I'm hoping to have the Brothers Round Table, Think Tank, and let's come up with some solutions, some thoughts, some ideas. And not only that, let's start networking so that we can start seeing some things, doing some things, because we can't keep relying on those who are not in the same boat. Like I always say in closing, it is time to plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I love y'all. Thank y'all for listening. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Until next Monday, peace, power, and love, family. I'm out.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big
picture. Somebody get paid just a policy. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture.